another episode of the Let's Keep It A Buck podcast, episode 17. We got another guest this week. Shout out to Sporting Logically, a.k.a. Tucker. Say what's up to the people, man.
Yeah, what's up? Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
No problem. We got the usual members, Jesus fuck, and the usual cast with us. We got Wordy, we got Dom, we got Justin. Say what's up to the people.
Yes, sir. Flipper Nation, right. Baby. Play IP.
Yeah, we got one main topic, really, to talk about today. Actually, we have a couple, because the NBA, all NBA teams came out. The MVP was finally announced. We got a couple tomfoolery topics at the end. But before we get going, how's everyone been this week, bro? I like to check in with my people, you know what I'm saying?
It's been great. It's been a great week. This has been a phenomenal week.
Phenomenal?
Like, this has been
exquisite.
This has been one of the best weeks, man. Especially if you're
talk about it, Dom. Talk about it.
This has been one
talk
of the best
so?
Weeks.
Why so? Why so?
All why? Why?
Look, man, look. All season, all I've been hearing is, oh, how is AD and LeBron going to get through Kawhi and PG? Now, I don't even got to worry about that because Kawhi and PG couldn't make it through Jokic and Jamal Murray.
Jamal Curry.
Jokic, I always believed in him, man. I never always believed in Jamal Murray, and I still don't. I still don't believe in Jamal Murray. Still don't believe in Jamal Murray. So I'm not even sweating this. Big That's 17, cool. Bitch. What you mean? Big 17's around here. Join the 17
catch
club.
Up. Y'all can finally catch up to the
finally,
Celtics.
Finally, right? Finally. You got to join the club.
All right. Yeah, but we'll get into that in a little bit. But like I said, we have a guest this week, Sporting Logically, in the building. First of all, congratulations to the new house. Congratulations
thank you.
To getting yes, engaged
sir.
As well.
Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Clap it up. Spam it up
clap
in the
it
comment
up, Shia.
Section.
Clap it up, Shia LaBeouf. Clap
Let's
it
go,
up.
Shia. Shia
Let's
LaBeouf.
Go.
Bro, this whole
you
week.
You see the video of that?
This man, Wordu. Has been on him. He's just been clowning Justin for looking like Shia LaBeouf, bro.
Did you see the video of him on Twitter reading that fucking book or whatever? Y'all didn't see
what was that? What was that?
He was high as a kite. Y'all didn't see
that? I seen him high as a bitch, and I was like, there's no way he's getting through this shit reasonably, and I just turned it off. I was just dying.
It was like Brad Pitt, like super fancy dress, Morgan Freeman. Who else was in there? The dude from the Lincoln
Jennifer Aniston.
They're all super professional. Man is blazed in his car.
Hot boxing, like literally smoking as they're reading lines. He's just sitting there hot. Just
he's a
with no shirt. Hair messy as a bitch. Just bro, I'm like, yo. And he looks just like Justin. Like ever since Wordy said that, I can't unsee it.
Yeah, I can't unsee it either.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf had ass. But
Playoff P.
He's been just a playoff fee for no reason.
I'm ready.
All right. But how's YouTube been lately, man?
It's good. I don't know what has been going on. Like when the league first came back, viewership was like kind of there. But I feel like for everybody, like the last couple of weeks, for whatever reason, stuff has been going up. But just getting everything set up in the new house and everything. But it's not going to be a whole lot different for me. I'm just going to do what I normally do and just talk about stuff every day. And it's it's been going well.
That's good, man. That's good. Hey, yo, I've noticed that too. The views in the NBA community have been going fucking crazy.
Right.
Like, so shout out Young Mustard. We had him on the podcast a couple weeks ago. He just hit 50K recently, and he's had like a viewer spike. I've had a viewer spike as well. Swish Out, like literally every time he uploads, is getting like 200K, 100K each video. Flight Mike, he had two videos this week. Almost hit 1 million.
Didn't Rusty like, Buckets just hit, what was it?
Yeah.
200?
Oh, shout out Rusty Buckets as well. He hit 100K this week, 100. You know what I'm saying? Good friend of the pod. But, yeah, everyone's just been spiking.
But the thing is, too, like, it's super interesting because you started to do something, like, a little bit different, like, within the last few weeks, right? Like, doing the face cam stuff, like, it's been a little bit different. But, like, Funky, for example, like, is doing nothing different, and his shit is crazy right now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
crazy right now. And I don't know. I don't know what that I was literally looking. I was like, there like a hashtag? Is there a tag? Is there like, what am I missing here? I'm trying to figure it out. Cause it just like, Adam, like he always did like pretty well, but it's been different. I don't know if it's just cause he does a lot of actual game stuff, right? I do a lot of like off season stuff. So just people paying more attention to games probably is what it is, but.
Right. Yeah, but shout out to the whole community. You know what I'm saying? We're thriving right now. We're thriving.
NBA community on the come up. I love it.
Everybody eats. Everybody's eating. And special thank you to the Clippers. You know what I'm saying? The Clippers fed a lot of people's mouths.
I told y'all, bro.
When the Clippers lost, that was my version of sports gambling. Cause I literally recorded that video that morning, and I was like, "Yo, this is definitely a high risk, high reward play. It's either I'm gonna waste 6 hours of my life, or I'm gonna make like $900 off this video." Which I did.
$900
You
know what I'm saying?
We all
was saying. That was the odds. Imagine.
That's my version of FanDuel.
I did the same thing with the Bucks, man. Like they were going into, I guess they were going into game five the night before. I already had it made. It was ready to go. It was in private. It was ready to go up. Literally like an hour after the game ended, it was up there.
Yeah. And I uploaded that shit with 30 seconds left on the shot clock. So people just seeing that, they're like, "Hey, yo, this man didn't even wait for them to lose." And that was like 100 free comments right there just for the upload time. So,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Everyone's thriving. But we were talking before I started recording about how you went to college for sports management, right?
Correct, yeah.
So my question is there anything specifically from your sports management degree that like translated to your YouTube channel? Like whether it be the focus of your videos or anything really.
There was some marketing stuff, like that I enjoyed more than a lot of my other classes. Like I actually enjoyed going to marketing class. And some of that stuff, like, you know, making sure that you're understanding who you're talking to, who your audience is, and kind of focusing towards getting those people engaged and interested. And so that can kind of drive the viewership and then other people can come in. But for YouTube specifically, it's something you learn and you grow every single day, right? Like you learn one little tidbit every single day because it's changing all the time. Like there's no book, there's no anything that anybody can tell you, do this step, and this step. It's just something that you kind of figure out who your people are and then how you can bring in other people. But for college specifically, no, the piece of paper is downstairs. I'm glad I have it. If YouTube shuts down tomorrow, I can get an okay job and be okay. But no, not anything specific for that degree, but I'm glad I have it.
That's good. So for sports management, is that geared towards like a career where you want to be like a GM in the NBA or something? Or
initially when I went to school, I was going to be a high school teacher and a basketball coach. I was going to be a high school history teacher.
Right.
And I realized about halfway through, I was like, you know what? I'm probably going to focus way too much on basketball. I'm going to be that coach that runs like ISS or whatever and doesn't do anything with basketball and chill. And I was like, I should probably just do something more basketball focused. Like I would have been a good teacher, but I just would have focused way too much on basketball. So when I switched to sport management, the idea was to be a coach, potentially do a front office thing. But with those types of things, you got to like really, really start at the bottom, like internship to ticket manager to whatever. And so I had started looking into that. I did an internship at a post-grad program in Atlanta in college. And then I worked there afterwards as well. But then when I was living down, that was when the YouTube thing kind of took off. And then that's when I decided that was going to be a full-time thing. But yeah, you can really working in sports, the degree is pretty irrelevant. I just wanted to have something that was a little bit more focused towards it, but you could have an English degree and coach basketball if you know the right people and get in the right places.
Yeah, because I always thought about that, like, how is there, what's the path?
So for a lot of people, it's like, if you want to get involved in, you know, like working at a YMCA at like a director level or like working at a gym at like a like not necessarily a management level but higher up than that type deal where you're like running a facility more than anything else. If you don't want to specifically go into coaching and general managing, which again you can do with anything.
So
I knew that was an easy degree too to have the piece of paper, to be completely honest. Like I knew that I could get that piece of paper and then I can go from there.
Yeah, because I didn't know if like most coaches literally started off coaching like fourth graders.
Right.
And then literally work your way up the pole, or is there like a short, like, so, I don't know.
In my experience, which is limited, but knowing people that have gone on to do different things, graduate assistants and otherwise, it's 90% people that you know and networking and going to, right. to coach at different, whether it be summer camps. Like I've coached at the, like a University of Alabama where they have like a camp for kids. Like they'll get a whole bunch of people to come in. You meet a ton of people that way. Yeah. And you just, it's easier in my opinion to start at the college level because you can get a graduate assistant position. You can go to school, be a graduate assistant, then be an assistant coach and go from there. At the professional level, it's probably going to be some type of internship where you're in the organization in general. Like if you go back to the Eric Spoelstra thing where he's like the video coordinator 25 years ago and then gets up from there, it's all about moving up and finding people, moving from spot to spot and networking with different people.
Yeah, because like guys like Steve Nash, which I want to get into, like they had no sports management experience or anything.
Yeah.
Like they literally just got a job because they've been in the NBA for so long and people trust them with their basketball knowledge and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I know you're a Brooklyn Nets fan.
I am.
Correct.
Yeah, so
this man Thomas shaking his head. But how are you feeling? How are you feeling about the Nets going into next year?
So,
are you worried about KD's injury or?
I'm always going to be a little bit pessimistic because every time, I'm sure y'all can all relate, every time you start to get optimistic about your team, you get brought back down to earth. So especially with the Nets that have no history of being good and there's like 18 different things that can go wrong in the next 2 days that could ruin the whole thing. I'm still like, you know, I don't know how KD's going to come back. I don't know if Kyrie is going to go to China on a sabbatical and not show up for the whole year. Like, I don't know anything. Right. So I think from a talent perspective, they're really good. Right. It just depends on if guys are healthy. And the only move that realistically I could see them making is a team that really likes Caris LeVert. They move him for a guy on the wing that can defend and can shoot because they've got plenty of people that can create on the perimeter. They got KD, they got Kyrie, assuming those guys are healthy. You throw Spencer Dinwiddie in there as well. So that would be the only move would be to kind of bring in a wing. But apart from that, I think they have the talent, and as long as they're healthy and the Steve Nash thing works, I think they can at least like top four in the East, I think is a realistic expectation. Beyond that, I think it's difficult to tell, but I think that would be where I would start. I'm not going to come out and be like, yeah, they're going to run the East. They're going to win 60 games. Cause then everybody will break their leg and they'll win 20 games and we'll be in the lottery. So
very true. Wait, so would you
go ahead.
So you being a Nets fan, I would assume, cause I used to stay in New York. I went to like the Nets games back before, literally the year before they made the playoffs, I decided to go to a Nets game. Still have fun. But I always thought with Caris LeVert being like one of the only, him and Jared Allen being one of the only like young players drafted homegrown Nets style after the whole robbery from the Celtics. Would you, I would assume a lot of Nets fans would rather have Caris LeVert stay and then when he moved, but would you rather move?
I would actually.
LeVert than then when
he moved? I really like Caris LeVert as a player. I think it just comes down to the value there. Like, I think if you're talking to another team, I think they'd rather have Caris than they would Spencer Dinwiddie. And I think that's what it comes down to. So, like, it's really difficult to get the kind of player that I feel like the Nets are going to need, which is kind of a combo 3-4, can defend and can shoot. Because really, Torian Prince is like the only option there outside of TV, which makes me nervous. You know what I mean? So it's like you want that type of player and you got to bring value to the table for that. Not that Spencer Dinwiddie isn't a good player and one of the most interesting follows on Twitter in the NBA, but I think that's all it is. It's just someone that is a little bit easier to trade for good value. Yeah. But I know it's weird that I'm a Nets fan because I'm from North Carolina. It's a super long story, but it's not because they've been good at any point. And I was like, oh, I like the Nets. It's just a long story.
Yeah.
No, I feel that. I feel that.
I got them making the finals next year, so.
So that means y'all getting out the first round. That's tough. You already put that juju on them before they even play next year.
That's tough. Yeah. All right, we're gonna pin that somewhere. Where do
someone was asking me
Brooklyn Nets making the finals?
Someone was asking me yesterday.
This year. Yeah.
When I was streaming yesterday, they're like, "What do you think? You know, what's the finals prediction for next year?" And I was like, oh, gosh, I can't even think about that because, like, I don't know what's gonna happen with the Clippers.
Yeah.
And like the Heat thing is really nice right now, but I don't feel super confident. I mean, like, yeah, they're going to be the one seed next year. You know what I mean? It's so new how dominant they've been in the postseason that I can't be like, yeah, it's going to be Lakers Heat next year. You know what I mean? So I have no idea what's happening with the East next year.
Yeah, but even with the Heat, like, literally no one saw them coming,
right,
like, to be as dominant as they've been. So to predict whole last seasons.
he did go out on a limb. 100% when I
got that Heat jersey on.
I respect
you guys can go ahead. My fucking AirPods just died. Keep going.
Yeah, it's like before last night, the only game they lost in the postseason was the weird Giannis goes out of halftime. The Bucks know they have to do everything they have to do to win. Other than that, they haven't lost a game up to last night, which is ridiculous for a team that was on like what, like a 48-49 win pace before the suspension. Like it's not like they're winning. Yeah, it's not like they're winning 55-60 games. Mm-hmm. And obviously they made some roster moves right before the suspension. So we didn't really like this team that we're seeing right now. Didn't really see them a ton because they brought in Jay Crowder, Iggy, who's not really doing that much for him. But like Myers Leonard doesn't play anymore. Tyler Hero is basically taking Kendrick Nunn's spot in the rotation. Like there's actually a lot of things different that we just didn't get to see a lot pre-suspension. And that's probably why they're coming out of nowhere so much. And they're just playing well. They're shooting the ball extremely well.
And their defense is, and they're like all buying in on defense. That's the crazy thing. That's a thing in the NBA where like, when you have players like a Duncan Robinson or a Tyler Hero, they're not known for any defense. They're just like, even Tyler being a rookie still, they're known for being shooters and being like shot creators. They're not known for defenders. When you get those guys to buy into team defense, amazing. The the product is like an amazing. Like I was watching them last night, even though they lost, they had a couple plays where it's like, Kelly Olynyk is sliding his damn feet. Baseline to base, like sideline to sideline. I'm like, bro, three line to three line. I'm like, yo, Kelly Olynyk is buying in on defense.
Right.
What am I watching? Is this a fake video? Kelly, is this a fake video?
Shout out Chris Moon.
Respect the OGs, man.
Hey man, I had to put it out there, man.
Is this a fake video, head ass?
But the crazy thing about them too is like, because you see Duncan Robinson, right? And you know the prototype. You're like, all right, it's a white dude. He's gonna shoot. He doesn't take twos, but he's like 6'7". Like it's different. It's not like he's 6'4", JJ Redick with dinosaur arms. Like he's a big dude.
People don't mention that too.
And it's kind of crazy that, like, obviously it's easy to say now, but it's kind of crazy that he had to, like, run on a G League team for the longest time to be 6'7" and can really shoot. But I don't really have an explanation for that other than he just wasn't nearly as good as he is now. Really worked on his shot. Like, he didn't play last year at all. He's on the roster. He didn't play. He played, like, 2 minutes a game.
Yeah, he came from a Division III school, right?
Mm-hmm. Damn. Oh, shit.
Shout out!
I want to know the story because he went to Division III for like 1 or 2 years, and then he was at Michigan. Like, I need to know how that happened. Like, that doesn't
the
happen.
Credits transferred over, man. He had the credits right. That's all it was.
like, was he a walk on? Like, I'm the so confused.
The credits transferred over. Fucking Gen Eds.
Right, bro.
Shout out to them Gen Eds, bro. Hey, me and Tucker were talking about that earlier. Like. I had to take fucking extreme weather freshman year. Like, what are we doing out here in college, bro?
You just got to add up the numbers. That's all. Yeah. You got to get to their quota.
Yeah, freshman year, I had to take extreme weather my freshman semester. So I was literally learning about hurricanes and tornadoes.
Not just weather, like extreme. That's such like extreme that's so weather. Specific. Like, it's not like you can't just talk about rain. You got to talk about like downpours and flash floods. You can't talk about.
Yeah, I'm like, what are we doing out here?
Talk about hail.
Right. 2 years later, let me tell you, I have not used any information from that class in any of my other classes.
You can't look outside and be like, oh, there's going to be a hurricane in like a week. Damn, I need to bring my shit in.
That's crazy, bro. That's crazy. So have you been streaming recently on Twitch with Jimmer?
Yeah, a little bit. So now that I've got every – because I've always wanted to, right? Like I think that one of the biggest indicators of – what kind of audience you actually have on YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, whatever it is not just the volume, but it's the amount of people that transfer from thing to thing. And right. So like King of the Fourth Quarter is awesome about that. This man could go live on Twitch right now and have like 10,000 people go and watch him play 2K.
Which is crazy.
I've always wanted to kind of test, and so I kind of always wanted to test how many people I could like transfer from thing to thing, because for NBA YouTube specifically, I think that even though things have been better lately, there's a pretty clear ceiling in comparison to things like gaming and things like that, right? And so I've always wanted to kind of transfer it into something else and still do NBA at the same time. So yeah, I've been doing some stuff on Twitch because now I actually have everything set up. I have all the space, I have all the lighting, I have the green screen, I have the webcam, I have the microphone, stuff like that. And it's just something that's easier to do consistently as well than like an actual, you know, someone with an actual 9-to-5 because I'm here all day, I can get my shit done and I can go stream. So yeah.
Right. Yeah, I've seen a lot of people in our community starting to stream recently. Cause and that's good too, because I feel like a lot of our community is realizing that like you can only go so much making videos about.
Nobody's buying mansions on NBA.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No one's really buying mansions with the way shit has been with the voiceovers. Because as soon as you upload something that's not related to whatever's trending or whatever it is, then these is gonna fucking drop. So you so it's definitely important in our
community. We can have this whole big conversation if we want to, because I've been all over this thing for like 2 years minimum. Where I really wish that tomorrow every single person that makes NBA content on YouTube would not show an NBA clip, like would not use NBA footage at all. I really wish tomorrow we could just ban that shit, and I think everything would be a lot better.
Yeah, because really it'd be a bunch of personalities rather than essentially like a YouTube version of House of Highlights or these curated Instagram pages. But yeah, man, good for the NBA community. We're coming together. You know what I'm saying?
Like, do you feel like since you've started to do, because I know you've experimented with face cam stuff a little bit, but this is the best that it's ever done, right? Yeah. Do you feel like people are more connected to you as a creator than just your channel and the name your voice?
Yeah, absolutely.
That I think is way more powerful than 100,000 views on a super well edited, you know, everything is just footage. I think that connection to you as a person is way more important.
Yeah, because when I upload now, I'm not scared that it's gonna flop because depending on the video title, like people come back to watch what I have to say instead of whatever the topic is. Mm-hmm. And when you look at my comment section, like half of it is like just like a community literally trolling me.
Right.
Discord.
Yeah. So yeah, it's definitely been better. Like I've been more connected with my fans more, and like I think for the first time in my YouTube career, like I feel like I'm a personality instead of just like a dude that has a bunch of subscribers that gets views on videos.
And that allows people to come to something like this much easier because they know you and they're like, hey, I'm interested in this guy as a person, not, hey, here's winners and losers of the NBA draft lottery for the from the seventh different creator that I've watched. Very what I mean? Like it's different.
Yeah. So
very true.
Yeah. It took us a while to get here, but people are and to be honest, like there's just so many videos you can make, especially with like the community being like 5 years old and shit. Cause who really wants to see another MJ versus LeBron video?
That's when I knew this was again like 2 years ago. It was like the copyright stuff was really screwing me up, right? And I was like, I'm tired of being paranoid all month long about what is and isn't gonna get claimed. I don't want the channel to get in trouble, blah, blah, blah. But I also was like, I would watch some of my videos and be like, this is the most boring thing I've ever watched in my life. I know people are gonna watch it, but I hate it. And I hated that feeling. Because the whole point of doing this is doing something that you enjoy. Because if I don't enjoy this, I'd much rather just go to some 9-to-5 that has benefits that I don't have to pay self-employment tax on, that all these other things that a 9-to-5 is better than this. So I might as well enjoy what I'm doing. And I enjoy what I do now more than I ever have.
Yeah. And the reason most people include footage is like, because even right now, you can say the exact same thing, but as soon as you put a face to the words you're saying, people kind of treat you differently, at least with your opinions. Like, I know, like I'm Asian, right? Like I'm not like the tallest person.
I know where you're going with this.
No, that ass, because I've never been like in the NBA, never played D1 basketball, but I would say like at least my opinions are, you know, they're backed up pretty well. So there was a difference in my comment section from the time I wasn't showing my face and the time I started.
Hey, I'll be right back.
You good. Yeah, so I saw a difference between those
two. Yeah, it's just we all run into that, right? Because I don't know. Yeah. I could be 100% wrong, and there could be some fact that I'm unaware of here, but I don't believe that anybody that does NBA YouTube at like a professional, like their actual job level, was with the exception, I guess, High Roller was like a D1 athlete, right? But he wasn't I don't know if it was necessarily like this man's about to go to the NBA. But the point is, I think we've all learned that NBA experience, high level basketball experience, does not necessarily equate to this guy really knows what he's talking about from an analysis level of basketball. Anybody can talk about basketball, and whether you're right or wrong doesn't necessarily mean you know what you're talking about, but where you're coming from with it, I feel like, and how you're backing it up shows you're right or wrong. You could be 100% right and just be pulling it out of your ass the whole time, and that doesn't mean you know what you're talking about. It just means you got lucky. So.
Yeah,
but I know what you mean. People are like, "Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. This guy is. If I went to go play him 1-on-1 right now, he couldn't even shoot." Yeah, you know what I mean. But that's not the point. That's far from the point.
Yeah, most of us really like. We just love basketball. We just love the NBA, and we just want a platform to talk about our shit. Like, we're not really trying to be this end-all, be-all source of information. Like, we're not trying to be Woj or anything. Right. Like, we're just fans of the game talking our shit and want to build a community with that.
And that's how we all started. Like, I had stuff I wanted to talk about, and I was like, I'm going to talk about it on the internet, and people wanted to hear it. So that's all it is.
And I've said this on the pod before, like, me and Justin, we were friends in high school, and I've said this multiple times, like, the reason I started this channel is because of the fucking lunch table debates we used to have.
Whoa.
You know what I'm saying? We first lunch.
First lunch.
Get to the lunch table. You know what I'm saying? What was the game last night? What was the game last night? What happened? Who's better than who? And then
our opinions were ass.
People would literally come to me as a source of like confirmation that they were right. They'd be debating some shit. They'd be debating some shit, and they're like, "Hey, yo, Bezos, what do you think?"
This is what I said, and this is what
you need backup.
Yeah, I'm like, dude.
You're sitting there like, man, I don't care.
I'm literally the same as you guys. I just know how to edit and I have a mic.
Mine was the opposite though. Like, I didn't have people to talk to this stuff about because whether it be my brother, my dad, anybody in my family, I'm the only one that could tell you anything about sports. Like, my brother doesn't even know what team LeBron James plays on. And so I was the other way. I was like, I need people to talk to about this stuff because I've got so many things to say. And then having that community kind of allow me to meet people, you know, whether it's you or Jimmer or whoever. Yeah. But that was the opposite way. It's like, I have so much stuff that I need to talk about because nobody else is listening.
Right.
I think that's one of the many reasons a lot of us don't watch soccer. It's like, man, you watch a couple games, maybe you want to talk about something with your friends. They're like, man, I don't know. I don't care. Like,
don't come for the soccer fans now. That's a big demographic.
It's not that I don't like soccer.
The biggest demographic.
Oh, no.
It's just nobody like around where I live knows anything about it. That nobody watches it. There's no community for us to, like, where I'm from to even talk about it. That's why I'm not into it. I'm not against it.
Soccer sucks.
It's probably soccer cool. It's probably cool. I'm in America.
It's more inclusive, I guess. It's like probably one of the more intimate fan bases, I'd like to say, compared to like soccer or, you know, other sports.
Marcus Smart would probably be pretty good at it. He just lay on the ground the whole time.
The thing about soccer that I don't get is how do you quantify like a player's skill, like with stats? Because aside from goals, like, it's just a bunch of fucking turnovers. Like, whenever I watch a play, you're like, oh, we're going this way, we're going that way. Oh, here's a red.
Somebody that really knows what they're talking about is going to come for our throat. I mean, like, you look at this, and then you got this whole graph, and they got the ESPN graphic set up with all the lines.
Bullet points.
You could probably do goals, assists,
and assists.
Because we're so used to such like a statistic based argument with the NBA that I feel like for soccer it's a little bit more difficult. Which I have no clue if that's actually the case, but that's just what I feel like.
The only thing
I come
really
back
seen
when
we're
talking about soccer.
I can't even watch a soccer game and be like to my roommates, be like, "Yo, you see that Liverpool match last night?" They'll be like,
Liverpool. Nah, man, look, all jokes aside.
Was so
soccer,
rad,
for me anyway, I can actually sit down and watch soccer. It just has to be the right circumstances. A, it has to be like the USA versus Brazil. It has to be like the World Cup.
The
World
Cup? That's the only
World
time
Cup
I watch
really
soccer.
When I watch it. But even if it's not the World Cup, one, I can never catch an MLS game because I never know when their season starts. So every time I see soccer, it's in another language. I'm sorry, but it's hard for me. It's hard for me to watch a sport.
This man watching Telemundo.
I don't know what's going on.
SAP Division.
It's so hard to watch a sport where you don't know what the hell's going on and you don't know what they're saying. So, like, for somebody watching the NBA, if you're watching the NBA for the first time, even if you don't know what basketball is, the commentators can keep you, like, on a guideline of what hell you're watching.
Right.
If I'm watching a sport where I don't know why the fact that they just stopped play because the ball went ahead in front of everybody, and all I hear the commentator
say, it took me a while to get what offsides was. I'm like,
yeah, I was like, wait, what the fuck? Yo,
what's wrong with that?
What's going on? And
then what's wrong with offsides? It seemed like a good play to me.
No.
It looked like a fast break situation. Like, what?
Yeah,
what you mean,
like,
that's
yo,
a dot?
I'm like, a clear pass outside. Foul. What are you talking about? Where's the line of scrimmage? Nigga saying offsides. I don't see a line of scrimmage. Where's the line of scrimmage? Like, I'm American, bro.
Soccer
I'm
fans gonna American. Hate you, bro.
Yeah,
bro. Sure. I'm telling you. Listen,
they've been recording for 4 minutes. From beginning to end, they're gonna cut this up.
Just gonna clip up. Just
oh yeah, part soccer of the podcast. Fans. Soccer fans can be at my neck. Listen, I love soccer. As an idea, let him stop.
As a, he said, as a concept.
It was a cool concept, but it didn't really.
Soccer's cool.
It didn't really hit with me. Soccer, you know what I'm saying?
Soccer's fun when I'm in the mood to watch soccer. My only issue is I just don't get it. I was at work last night. Literally, the fucking playoffs are on. I'm watching the playoffs. It's like mad late. We're all about to go home. My boss comes in, takes the remote, turns off the playoffs for some random soccer game. And I'm looking, I'm like,
Chelsea versus Everton.
And these niggas is just all, I swear to God, bro, they're going back and forth. And I look at his face because I'm like, okay, if I'm watching a sport that I love, my facial expressions are going to change. I'm like, okay, so when is his facial expressions going to change? I shit you not. The man walked up the field, kicked the ball, and then that nigga was like, oh. I was like, what is he going to do with it? What is he supposed to do? That nigga treated like a Marcus Smart 3. I was like, he just came up the field. What are we upset about? That let me know. I know what's going on in fucking NASCAR before I know what's going on in soccer, bro. I can't
soccer
do it.
For me is like, it's like the Olympics. Like, I love the Olympics when it's like, I can watch the US and like whatever. I'll watch damn figure skating. I don't know. Like, I feel a little bit more invested when it's like,
right. Just because it's
us versus the world.
And
the
same thing with soccer. And the only other time that, like, I know people that are super invested in soccer, and to be completely honest, when the world was normal, they could go out and do stuff. It's like Saturday morning. They can go out to like an Irish bar at 10 a.m. and drink beer and watch soccer. Like, it's so they can drink in the morning and watch soccer. That's the only reason they love it.
That's crazy. True.
Okay.
That's crazy. But let's move on from soccer. This ain't a fucking soccer podcast. True.
Yeah, I came back. I left. We brought up you brought up soccer. Come back. Niggas soccer talking about soccer. I'm like, okay.
Right. Messy, though.
Shout out to my soccer people out there.
Was I going that long?
Y'all gotta explain this shit to us soccer people out there.
No, we were me and Tucker were dead ass just talking about like how we got started on NBA shit with YouTube, and then I don't know how soccer was brought up still.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest, that was my bad.
You gotta find the FIFA good, community and get a guest next week from the FIFA community.
Yeah, we're gonna get KSI on here.
KSI
Ojalay dead ass.
Ojalay.
Semi-Ojale? KSI Semi-Ojale head ass. All right. The all NBA teams were announced this week.
Oh,
also,
Lord.
The MVP was also announced this week. And most of the conversation has been the correlation between those two, if we're being honest. Mm-hmm. So Giannis was announced as the MVP, and rightfully so. All NBA teams were announced. I don't really think there was any problem with that, except for maybe, James Harden. James Harden. Didn't make all NBA first team, I think. That was a big contention.
Yeah, he did.
And Brad. First team?
Yeah, he made it. Yeah. The first team is LeBron, Giannis, Harden, AD, Luka.
Okay.
The only thing that I saw that people were like, not necessarily really upset about, but it's just still the way the voting works. So Chris Middleton got more total all NBA votes between guard and forward than there was Russ and somebody else and Ben Simmons. But he didn't make all NBA because his votes were split between guard and forward. But he had more total all NBA votes in general than both of those guys.
That's fucked. I didn't know about that.
And it wasn't close. He had like 30 something at each position, and those guys each had like 40 at guard and like guard or forward, and he didn't make it.
Wait, so like 60 votes. So Ben Simmons? That was Ben Simmons that had the splits vote, or Chris Middleton?
How many of those votes were from the same person?
Say that again.
I thought that was my internet.
I thought it was mine too. I was like,
oh, let me
check my router real quick.
I was like, oh shit.
Is Justin still here?
Wait, me?
Yeah. Are you?
I'm chilling. I think we're all here.
You're still here.
Are you still here?
That is.
Who do you want to say what again?
Okay, Tom. So the Chris Middleton and Ben Simmons shit. It was Ben Simmons who had his splits votes, right? Or was it Chris Middleton?
Nah. So Chris Middleton, people were saying, should have made like third team All NBA. But the way the voting went, I guess he was listed at guard and forward. I don't 100% understand it. I know that he got guard and forward votes. And if you would combine those, he had a significant more amount all NBA votes than Russ or Ben Simmons, who both made 13, I believe.
Yeah, no, I think the all NBA voting definitely has some problems with it, especially with correlation to the like superlative awards. But my thing is I don't know how you really want to change it.
Right, because like, people are going to argue, don't do positions, but then at that point, just rank them by 15 through 15 from the MVP.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, just look at the DPOY voting, and that's your list. Like, just divide it by three.
Right, and you got there's got to be some kind of – it needs to be clear. Like, I guess that's the issue is, like, the Chris Middleton thing. Is he a guard or forward? Just let him be voted on at one position. Don't let them, like, write in that he's a forward. I don't know if that's how it works, but clearly there's some kind of issue with the position. But I'm completely cool with, like – perimeter guy, big guy, just run it from there. Like, you either have the ball in your hand or you're running ball screen. Like, you're the screener. Like, you do one of those.
So my question is, what do you qualify Giannis as, if that's the case?
He's a perimeter guy. He's a forward. He's creating.
So you think he's a perimeter guy?
I don't know.
Like, if we're just
that's exactly what I'm talking about. There's a level of contention.
I feel like it's easier to split it that way, though, because you could be, like, with Giannis as an example, you could be a perimeter creator guy 1 through 4. If you're the 5, you're not, unless you're Jokic, who's, you can still consider him a big because it's out of the post. He's not running ball screens as a ball handler. I feel like it's easier just to, these are the guys that create, these are guys in the perimeter, and these are the, like, true 5s. Because there's not that many of them that are going to be making the All-NBA teams in the first place anyway. So you got one of those on every team.
True.
So you got, like, you can just pick 3 big guys, and then the other 4 are, like, perimeter creators, stuff like that. I don't know.
Right.
Probably not perfect, but it probably isn't a perfect way to do it either.
Yeah.
I see that.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, I feel like Rudy Gobert making the All-NBA team. Right. Nobody gives a shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there should be – I think it should just be positionless. Like, the all-team, like, all first, second, and third team.
It should just pick the position before you vote. So you can't
not even that. It should just be the best players. It shouldn't even be about position.
But then it's just the MVP voting 1 through 15.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. That's the whole point of the MVP voting. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, but first of all, I'm going to be honest. Why the hell, when it comes to MVP voting, why are we even looking to fucking 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11? Like, I seen a post the other day, Jason Tatum finished 11th MVP. Who the fuck cares?
So, like, we can give put me that in a video 2 years from now. Oh, he was on the come up, we used 7th. I've done that. I've 100% said that someone was like 7th in MVP voting. Yeah.
For MVP voting, I feel like it's just top 5 players. Top 5 should be MVP voting. Because let's be honest, are you really in contention for MVP at 11? At 11th. Come on, bro.
Like, if you don't get invited to the show as a nominee, finals, you don't need to be on the list.
Thank you. So it should be top 3 to top 5 for MVP voting. And then the all team should be just based off of your ability to play basketball, who's the best players in the league at that time. Because the game is getting too positionless. That's what I'm saying. Like, back in the day, the position thing worked because everything was more set based on what position you play. But today, when you have fucking Bam bringing the ball up the court, Jokic being more of a point guard for his team, it's Giannis being like, you don't know what position Giannis is. KD's being talked about put at the 5. Like, these next 5 years, James Harden, who in my opinion is still a point guard, Luka, who's a point guard,
right?
There's no real positions anymore. Like, there's just what are you doing on the court? Are you bringing the ball up the court? Are you the playmaker for your team? Are you the anchor on offense? And like, what are you? So I feel like it should just, the voting should be based on where the league is at the time. So positionless voting.
But even if you say the top 3, 5 shit, way the voting works right now is you have 120 plus voters, right? And each voter has a first place vote, who they think should win it, a second place vote, and a third place vote. And each vote has its own point percentage. So I think first is like 4 or something. Second is 3.
I know, like, the 3-2-1 system shit.
Yeah, so the reason why it goes all the way to 10th is because of dumbasses who think, like, Jason Tatum should have, like, had the third
Someone voted Patrick Beverley Defensive Player of the Year, bro.
But that's what I'm saying. But even though you try to take precautions to prevent those type of things, that type of shit is going to happen. My thing is this. After you get the voting done and you tally all the votes, at that point you should be like, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 have the most votes. Boom. That's the list.
You're saying it should just be like the top five?
Top five. I don't understand why when it comes
to MVP voting, I don't see why it has to be 10.
Why the hell are we looking at 15th, 10th? Like, who the fuck cares? Like,
no, but what I'm saying is when it comes to the all-NBA teams you were talking about, isn't that exactly Isn't that the same thing essentially?
But yeah, it's the same thing. But what I'm saying is for the all team voting, don't do it based on position. Like you said, with Chris Middleton, his votes got split up between guard and forward. That's idiotic. Like his vote should just be his votes. They shouldn't be split through position because you have situations like where a guy has more votes than somebody, but because he was labeled as a certain thing for some people and not others, he missed out on an opportunity to be on NBA team selection. Like he missed out on an opportunity. And that matters when it's contract negotiation time. That matters when you're trying to get more money. Like that's what teams look at. In basketball, they look at your accolades. They look at your stats and look at your accolades. What did they say? They said Rudy Gobert because he got put on an all team. I think it was defensive team or whatever it was. He's eligible for Supermax now.
Yeah.
Rudy Gobert is eligible for Supermax. Yeah.
That's what really screws the whole thing up, but that's why it like actually really matters how they vote for this shit, because it was the year Gordon Hayward went to the Celtics, he didn't make all NBA team. Had he made it, he would have been able to make like an extra $60 million staying in Utah. I'm not saying he would have stayed, but like that's a lot of money to put on the line for an all NBA team.
That's
like
especially a lot of fucking money.
You know what I mean? $60 million. So Rudy Gobert, it's like MVP, DP. Like if you win like one of the big awards, not six man, but like if you win like defense player of the year, MVP, what you make in all NBA team? We're not giving Supermax.
But you know what I mean? Supermax for being best at the bench. Get this shit.
There are some people listening that are like, why the hell do they care so much about the all NBA team? That's part of the reason. Like, that's a lot of money that can completely screw up somebody's cap if they got to pay somebody 60, whatever. Like, Bradley Beal is, even though he just signed an extension, needs a new contract in like 2 or 3 years. And so within these next 2 or 3 years, if he makes an all NBA team and he's still in Washington, they can give him the Supermax. Like this stuff matters for stuff like that.
Yep.
Yeah. And I guess the one thing I was kind of confused on was because LeBron said for at least the most improved player, like he pointed out that Devontae Graham barely got any votes.
Yeah.
So
LeBron pointed that out in the video.
I guess my question is, if you're a voter and a majority of the voters think that Brandon Ingram is the most improved player, and that's like the consensus, I don't know what you expect for them to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, if the consensus is Brandon Ingram's the most improved player, and LeBron even said that Brandon Ingram is the most improved player in his eyes, and you have a pool of voters, why would... Like, I don't see the problem if, like, only 7 of them think that Devontae Graham was most improved.
I mean, that just falls into personal bias at that point. Like, a lot of players believe in Devontae Graham. Like, a lot of players are hyping up Devontae Graham about his improvement. So, with that type of thing, it's just you going for the players you like. Like, back in, 2018, when LeBron made comments about how great Dennis Smith Jr. was and how the Knicks were crazy for passing up on him for Frank Ntilikina. It's just you picking out players that you like personally over other players and creating narratives. Players do it too. They create their own narratives. That shit don't work because they tried to create this narrative for Devontae Graham and that shit did not work. Them niggas like, yeah, we don't give a fuck what y'all saying. But it is what it is.
From 4 points to 16 really points. That's a big improvement.
That's a big improvement.
Go ahead.
I was about to say that's a big improvement, but you can see why people pick Brandon Ingram for the simple fact.
Yeah.
For the first like 2 or 3 years, people didn't believe. Like people thought he was going to be a bust. They didn't think he was going to live up to the expectations placed on him.
I didn't.
We did it, nigga. We used to literally sat in this motherfucker like, yeah, we see why we need to trade Brandon Ingram.
Julius Randle ended up being trash, but
yeah, like we see why Ingram traded. He trash. Get him out of here. Like we were those people.
Yeah.
So now look at him. Now we're like, yo, bring Ingram back, nigga. Get Kuzma out of here. We need Ingram.
Facts.
He's looking like he's filling out his potential. So I can see why plus they didn't have Zion. Like that team didn't have Zion. So no one really expected anyone to really pop from that team. And he just exploded. Like he had the good finish of the season last year. Well, no, until he got hurt. But other than that, man, no one expected Brandon Ingram to come out and be like, how much did he average? 23? No one expected that from him. Like, nobody.
I definitely didn't.
It just depends on, like, how you evaluate the awards, I guess. Like, people have different criteria for what MVP means, and it's the same for most improved. Like, if you want to go from, like, this dude really wasn't playing to he's, you know, second leading scorer on the team, 18 a game, whatever, one of the best high-volume three-point shooters in the league, then maybe you go to Devontae Graham. But if you go, okay, this guy in Brandon Ingram is just overall doing more. Maybe not the improvement might not be there as much, but he's just overall doing more. But what I want to know is, I can't remember when you did like the community like awards, did they match up with who actually won this year that much or no? Because I voted, I think I voted Bam most improved, and I feel like that's who ended up winning.
Bam won the NBA award show.
And then sixth man I thought was Dennis Schroeder as well. I'm just curious Dennis like Schroeder. How they lined up.
Yeah, so the actual awards, Montrez won it. I still don't know how.
Montrez we probably need to know. I know we haven't talked about the Clippers too much, but we probably need to talk about Montrez a little bit.
Yeah, we can talk about them. So for the real awards, talk about all them boys. So for the real awards, Montrez won Sixth Man of the Year, and for Most Improved, Brandon Ingram won. But for our award show, we had Bam winning Most Improved, and we had Dennis Schroeder winning Sixth Man of the Year, which in my opinion, I think our award show is better in terms of the outcomes.
Yeah. They should choose the Supermax.
Yeah, talk your shit. Yeah, show. It is.
Let them know.
I don't know how Montrez won Sixth Man of the Year. Like, let's just get into that. How did he win Sixth Man of the Year when he should, first of all, I don't, because he should be sharing votes with Lou Will, essentially, because there's pretty much two six men on that team. Mm-hmm. I don't even know, six men, but yeah, so he's putting those votes. And I don't know how you can look at Dennis Schroeder, who is a top three player on the Thunder and coming off the bench, and he's so much more valuable to the Thunder than Montrez is to the Clippers, simply for the fact that the Clippers have Lou Will. So I don't know how Montrez won it. Yeah. I don't know.
I know one thing. He definitely didn't fucking deserve it. I seen him win it, I was like, I don't see how he won it. I don't.
Dude averaged 10 points in the playoff, bro.
Like, not even that. I just when did they move? I figured
garbage.
It's a regular season, but
I figured Lou Will would have got most.
Was it right after the regular season, right before the bubble started?
I think it was during the. Did the seeding games count? I can't remember. I don't know if the seeding games counted. I think
no. It's everything before.
Okay.
Before shit got canceled, but yeah, I mean it is a regular season award. I get that.
Right.
I get that more than most people, but. Even when you look at the regular season, I still don't know how he won it.
I feel like I remember seeing though that Lou Williams had like tweeted either after he won the award or before that he thought Montrez should have won it. But the award to me, honestly, like I care about defense player of the year, I care about MVP, sixth man, most improved, I care about a little bit. I don't really care about those too much. But the thing that is weird to me is like within a span of a week, like do we think Montrez got exposed a little bit in the postseason? Do we still think he's getting paid? Like. They were really bad with him on the floor. Like, they could not guard the Nuggets when he was on the floor. Yep. Like, to be fair, the Nuggets were shredding them regardless because they were doubling post. But, like, the Zubats being in foul trouble didn't help either. But, like, to be completely unable to guard at the five where he has to play makes me wonder, like, where his value is really at.
But even in the round before, it wasn't just with that series. Like, he wasn't – the whole playoffs, he was barely getting minutes.
Which is weird because when they played the Lakers in the regular season, did they just switch the matchup? Like, was Paul George on Anthony Davis at times or Kawhi? Because they guarded them pretty well, I feel like, in the regular season, even with Montrez on the floor. I could be remembering that incorrectly, but...
I think Kawhi was guarding AD. Like
Kawhi did guard AD. Yeah. Kawhi guarded AD.
Yeah.
I want to say Kawhi guarded AD. Who else? Zubac would be on AD. Mm-hmm. Zubac and Harrell, they kind of, split time on AD when they're on the court. But Kawhi, when they switched, he would be on AD. And unless the Lakers ran a set to try to get like a mismatch, that'd be what it was. Kawhi, Montrez, Zubac, and that was it.
Yeah.
My thing with Harrell is this.
Go ahead.
Harrell is great hustle guy. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that you would like on your team. Like, if he's on your team, he's going to do things that don't show up in a stat sheet that you love.
He's going to show up. He's going to be there. Yeah. He's going to be out there.
He's going to give you hustle. With those type of players, you will always get a situation like this where they will get phased out. Like, the hustle just doesn't fucking matter if you're getting outplayed very badly.
You can't
like,
guard. We're playing,
yeah, so, like, stuff like that just doesn't matter. I don't think his value kind of, like, dipped or got hurt. I know for a fact someone's going to pay him. Somebody's going to pay that man. Someone's going to pick him up. But I don't think –
Knicks
will pay anybody right now. They pay Julius Randle. They definitely pay him. That's a fact. But – I don't think his value got hurt. I don't think any less of Montrezl Harrell than I did already. I didn't think too highly of him. I didn't think like I didn't think he was sixth man of the year. I didn't think he was like some. I don't know. It's kind of hard.
He is what you thought he was.
Yeah, basically, like he's exactly who I thought he was. Cool. He's playing exactly how I figured he was going to play. He didn't show up where I figured he was. Well, no, I didn't figure he wasn't going to show up right there. Honestly, that's kind of, that was luck. I didn't think Clippers going to wet the bed that bad. But hey, when you're the little brother in LA, little brothers always fail to goddamn show up every now and then. You know, big brother got to take the reins. You know, but say
they're the B team. We're not on Clippers.
We're not on Clippers slander right now. I'm saving the Clippers slander for the segment. Don't worry about it.
I'm off. It's okay, Dom.
It was just, so strange. I'm not saying that they lost the series because Montrez couldn't guard Jokic. Jokic was incredible, and they could have defended him better. They didn't need to double the best big man pass in the league every time down the floor, right? Like they could have done some better things. And part of it was just a personnel issue. They have one good defensive big that has the size to play Jokic one on one. But like the plus minus stuff and how bad they were defensively when he was on the floor was so bad that it made me wonder, like, are people going to rethink how much value he actually brings? Because like you said, brings hustle. He's really worked on his offensive game, finishing inside, things like that. But when you really can't guard like that, it's a problem, especially in the playoffs, which is what people are going to try and pay you for at this point. So
That's true. That's a team that don't make the playoffs pay you.
Yeah, definitely not the best time for Montrez to play the way
he's making like six, and he was in line for a big raise, which he might still get. But
I know for a fact that Charlotte Hornets ain't making the playoffs, so they're like, regular season, Harold, we can use that. That'd be great.
Put people in seats when we're allowed to do that again. Let's do that.
Yeah, I mean, if the Hornets get LaMelo, they got some building blocks there.
Best believe the Hornets get LaMelo. I'm pulling up to every Hornets game I possibly can. I'm going to all the trash games. Hornets versus Hawks.
I'll go to a couple when I'm down there.
I'm pulling up to all the cheap games, nigga. That's it. All the young stars. I'm pulling up those games immediately.
Are we off the award topic? Because I had another point I actually wanted to bring up. You know how like in 2012, Marc Gasol won Defensive Player of the Year, but he didn't end up on a defensive team. That's another pet peeve that I have. Like if a player's going to win one of the main awards, but they don't end up on a All NBA team, that's a problem too.
Is it the same voting pool? Like, are the same people that vote on the awards vote on? Because I don't see how that could possibly happen if it's the same group of people.
That's also another thing.
Yeah.
For the actual superlative awards, the media votes, but for the All NBA teams, coaches vote.
Okay.
Ooh, they know that. So that's how that. Because
really?
Because I was watching Kenny's video.
And also with the All NBA team specifically at that time. The problem, not only was the competition at the center really wild and the race for defensive player of the year really close that year, it was like five deep, which is extremely rare.
Yeah.
But also when it comes to the All-NBA team, like we said earlier, positions did matter back then. So for each team, there's only one center. And that was a big reason why Marc Gasol didn't make the first team. But also that year, Tyson Chandler and I forgot who. Joakim Noah, they had the same amount of first place votes. So what actually ended up happening was on the first team there were two centers. And there were six members in the all defensive first team. So to me, like 2013 is such a rare case to bring up.
I had no idea it was different groups of people voting. I just assumed which I don't understand why that would be the case. If you want to have coaches and media vote, cool. Have 800 people vote. I don't care how many people vote. It's a larger sample size. You're probably going to get to a better answer. I don't know why it needs to be split by between two different groups of people.
Yeah.
When a person votes for Patrick Beverley for Defensive Player of the Year, it's a problem.
Someone need to cut it down a little bit. That's probably.
That's ridiculous.
You feel like, that's what they should do is every year they should be able to veto someone off the voting pool. If you're doing that, you're out. Vote. You're out. I'm getting rid of you.
That could have been
going down a member.
Easily.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the Defensive Player of the Year voting right now, from one through, from the second place to the fifth place, each of them had pretty much 100 points, which is a decent amount going that deep. Because most of the time it's either, like one player or another. So for it to go five deep is pretty rare, and it was just a really close race. Like for the guy who finished fifth in voting that year. He had 9 first place votes. It was Tony Allen. But Tim Duncan, who finished sixth, had more first place votes than Tim Duncan. But the reason why Tony Allen was ranked higher was because he had more points total. So that year, to me personally, 2013 is an anomaly. But I do agree that, and I honestly made this mistake on Twitter yesterday, that 11% of the time for this to happen, there are changes that need to be made to the voting. But I feel like for them to just do two backcourts and three front court players is the change that they've tried to make it more positionless. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're trying. I really don't know how much else they could do with the all NBA teams aside from like getting rid of it.
We want to do Clipper stuff. Are we ready? Is everybody warmed up?
All right, is everybody warmed
right
up?
Right before
y'all get in your bag.
Before we get into this, I just want to say one thing, and it's still referring to like the award voting and shit like that. Did y'all see Ja Morant call out the dude that didn't vote for him for rookie?
Yes, I saw.
Y'all see that
video on that? I saw
that dude is a fucking. That dude.
I seen the tweet live. I seen like the.
That's the same dude that voted for Pat Bev for Defensive Player of the Year.
Swear to God,
we gotta kick him out. Like we gotta person every year to get rid of. I'm telling you.
And also, I get the whole LeBron shit, but this one guy voted for LeBron MVP, Pat Bev Defensive Player of the Year, and Zion for Rookie of the Year, and he was also the same guy that voted for Carmelo Anthony in 2013.
That's him.
What's his name?
But we're all talking about him today, and so is Twitter. So maybe he's doing the right thing because nobody's talking about him yesterday.
No. He's not doing the right thing. The reason people are talking about him is because we never knew who this nigga was.
Now you know his name.
He's ratio you know now. Bro, do you know how many people are not about to give this man a job now because people are like, oh,
he's on his LeVar Ball shit.
Oh man, nah. You voted for Melo. The fuck out my face, man.
He
gave the explanation to why he voted for Zion, which honestly was horrible. Like, I'd rather you not say anything. Like, he didn't say nothing for a good 4 hours. I was like, okay. And I remember I tweeted at him. I was like, bro, so you're not going to say anything? Literally, like an hour after that, he put his explanation out. And I was like, oh, delete that shit. You might as well not have said anything.
Wasn't it like the 24 games Zion played were like marquee events or something? I can't find a tweet
to go word for word, but literally he was like, the reason he voted for Zion is because the fact the NBA scheduled a TV schedule. They had the TV schedule around them.
Yeah, they had more NBA TV games for him. Like,
yeah, they had the NBA TV schedule around them. They did the bubble thing around them. He's a more marketable name. Like, he's a superstar level name. In only 24 games, he had a more impact. That's why. And I remember the first tweet I seen is from Lowe. He was like, so you're telling me you voted Zion because – he had more TV games.
Yeah, I saw that.
He didn't show up for 18 of.
Yeah,
to be fair, I'm not slandering Zion. Like, I'm excited about Zion. Whatever. I hope he's healthy and everything moving forward. But yeah, that's a ridiculous explanation.
All my excitement went into that nigga's stomach because he's too goddamn big to even be excited about anymore. Seeing Zion come back to the bubble bigger really, really de-escalated all of my hype on him. Like, I was like, bro, he comes back to the bubble in shape, he's gonna be that guy. He came back looking like Sean Kemp. In 2001, I was like, yeah, no, this isn't about to be anything pleasant. But like I said, I just wanted to see if y'all seen that thing with Ja Morant. It's Clipper Slander time, baby. Oh, my earbud came out.
And one last thing. I don't know who voted for Christian Wood for most improved player, but your mom needs
probably
to be
Joe Cowley. It's probably Joe Cowley.
Yo, Christian Wood. But Christian Wood's lit, though. I fuck Christian Wood.
Oh, yeah. Most improved player?
All right, man. We build up to the Clippers slander. Y'all go ahead.
Anyways,
bro. Y'all go ahead. Verdu, you want to start off?
Let's clap it up, guys. It was great.
Verdu's World,
Clippers Bucks, Clippers Celtics, Clippers Heat, Clippers this, Clippers that.
Clippers Sixers.
Shut up, nigga.
At least these... Clippers Lakers, man.
Clippers Sixers.
We didn't even get that.
Shut up, disappointment. So the Clippers have. Arguably two top 15 players in Paul George and Kawhi. They have two six men in Montrezl Harrell and Lou Will. Doc Rivers, who is supposedly this great coach, who honestly is one of the more overrated coaches of all time, in my opinion. And you guys blow a 3-1 lead to the Nuggets. Not to say the Nuggets is a bad team, but the expectations for the Clippers was to make the finals, and you're losing in the second round to a team that probably shouldn't even be that. It shouldn't have gone that far with the Clippers. I thought it was going to be Clippers in five, honestly. So there is no excuse for this team. I mean, what can you say about a team that's, you know, just the B team? They ain't shit. They garbage. So, we all know this.
I will say, so I ended up, I did pick, like, I thought the Clippers were going to be really good. I thought that they were legitimately going to win the title. Like, I will go ahead and say that. And I obviously didn't work out. But here's the reason why. So they got the roster construction is nice, right? Like, they got guys that can shoot. They got, you know, Landry Shamet can shoot a little bit. Pat Bev is kind of like a role player guy. They've got a good bench. You know, two stars. But if you had replaced Kawhi with 90% of the other quote unquote stars in the league, I wouldn't have picked him. But after watching what he did last year with the Toronto roster that arguably was or wasn't as good as this Clippers roster, it's kind of hard to tell now because of limited postseason success. Kawhi was the reason that I liked them so much. And that was the most surprising thing. And people were giving him a pass way more than they would with a lot of other people.
No passes here. No,
but that was it, Kawhi was the reason for me. Like, it wasn't, oh, it's the Clippers or this great team. It was, if that was LeBron, saw what Kawhi did last year.
Ain't no pass, niggas. Ain't no pass. Ain't no pass. 6 for 22. What did he shoot? 6 for 22? What did he shoot that last game?
He was really bad in 6 and 7. He was really, really bad for the floor in both 6 and 7.
There's no excuse for that, man. Anyways, Dom, you can go ahead. I put out a video about this, so
I was on airplane mode right now.
I don't feel the need to address Clippers fans. You're the B team. Come on now. We all know this. You're the kings of the of the state. I'll let Dom go.
Is it my turn? It's my turn. It's my turn. It's my turn. On my skip shit. I told niggas. I've been telling niggas all year. I've waited for this. When I seen them lose, I legit waited for this moment where I can come on this podcast and talk my shit. Niggas told me all year about why Kawhi-less braids and PG-13 was going to win a championship, keep LeBron from getting ring number 4, keep AD from getting ring number 1, keep us from doing it for Kobe. Oh, they told us every reason why
we
wasn't going to be like that. Montrezl Harrell. He's going to get all the boards. Who's stopping Lou Will from scoring? He hit his first shot. It's game.
Man,
Zubac. Y'all gave him Zubac. He's better than all your centers. I've heard
JaVale.
Oh, who's guarding Kawhi and PG? How are you going to stop Kawhi? We didn't even have to stop Kawhi and PG. They stopped themselves.
That's sad. They all popped up. I think that team is cursed. That team is cursed, bro.
We didn't even have to do nothing. We did less work than I assumed we would have to do. I thought we would just have to be good. We didn't have to be shit because they didn't make it to us.
They didn't even have to change anything.
That's the best part. They didn't even make it to us. Stop, KB. I'm talking to you, KB.
KB.
We lose one game to the Rockets.
Discord legend.
My notifications pop up. Oh, where the Laker fans at? That Discord been pretty fucking quiet, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty fucking quiet.
Niggas ain't in HTC no more. You niggas is quiet as a bitch. Yeah.
It's my God.
I'm on asses today. You're
not doing this.
Fuck your shit.
I'm on asses today. Pause, niggas pause. Was talking big shit. Pause. No, I'm paused.
Too early.
Pause. Hey, yo.
Niggas, I'm talking shit. I am talking big shit.
Fuck your shit, bro.
Because I've had to deal with this shit all since they signed Kawhi.
Since they signed, yeah.
Since the trade that brought PG to the Clippers. All I've been hearing from fucking Clipper fans, from you fake-ass Laker fans. Lo, I'm talking to you, Lo. I'm talking to you. You told me I was crazy. You said, you had doubts, nigga. You were doubting. You always doubted the land. You always doubt us. You doubted us.
You doubted the land?
You doubted us.
Believe land.
You thought we were the second best team in LA. You doubted us. You sat in Discord and told me, how is a team with Alex Caruso and Rondo gonna compete with that?
Quiet.
You told me that, nigga.
Now he's quiet. Look,
where we at?
Now he's wearing Heat jerseys.
We're about to go to the Big 17s. We talking about a team that was about to get bought as a damn D-League team. Get the fuck out of here. We was going to buy them as our D-League team, man. And niggas want to talk to me about this team? This cursed ass friend. Imagine.
Imagine the Lakers finally fall off a cliff. Imagine Lakers fall off a cliff. You get Chris Paul, who was supposed to be ours. You get Blake Griffin. You get all these players. You built this Lob City bullshit team. And for the first 3 years of Lob City, that's all people cared about. Oh, who talk about the Lakers now, huh? It's Lob City. We got the Clippers. Clippers are the team of LA. That's all you talked about. You bitches never made it past the second round. Never. You blow it up. Never. You blow it up. You got nothing but fucking role players. You got
blew a 3-1 lead
with Alexander. You got fucking who else did you have? Who the fuck cares? You had all these fucking role players.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
And fucking KB telling me, oh, we're definitely in a better situation than the Lakers to get a ring in the next 3-4 years. Oh yeah, really? Really? You are. You are, huh? You're in a better situation, huh? You never did shit. You ain't never gonna be shit. You never was shit. It don't matter. We're talking about the fucking Clippers. The fucking choke them up clip. 3-1 lead, nigga. You're blowing 3-1. You're blowing 3. Go sign KD because you blew a 3-1.
Yeah, go sign KD, bro. Go sign KD,
You better hope Giannis come there, because if you don't get a superstar, you're not pulling the Warriors. There's no 2 rings after this one, baby.
When the Warriors come back, they definitely not contending at all. That's the case.
Talking to me about the goddamn Clippers all goddamn had me worried. Had me worried about this team.
I wasn't worried at all. Was I Bezos?
Niggas talking to me about a fucking PG-13.
I'm just saying.
You goddamn right to PG-13. It take grown men to win in this league. You need to be rated R.
You need to be rated R.
Rated R superstars, edge shit, nigga. You got to be rated R to win around here.
Oh, man, this man Don's in his fucking bag.
Oh, my God, man, I've been waiting.
Crazy.
I waited for this moment. I thought this moment would come in the conference finals. You niggas couldn't even make it. You couldn't make it to the conference finals.
Chris came early for this, man.
Oh, my God.
Don has a platform, and he's using it.
I don't need shit else for the rest of the year. I don't. All I need to see is LeBron hold that trophy up and say, Kobe, it's for you. This is for you. That's all I need right now. That will complete it. That will complete my joy. But just know, Clipper fans, before this season, you niggas couldn't say shit to me. KB, this is definitely for you. Y'all better not say a motherfucking word to me.
They don't have any room to talk. There's no room
to talk.
Y'all better win
like 7 rings before you start fucking talking to me again. Because this season
hurt
you
niggas. Wow, that's a big expectation.
This season hurt you niggas. Let's start on one.
Didn't we have
the Ling Ling Ducks above them when we did the...
The Ling Ling Ducks. Oh, my God.
The top franchises of all time. Like, didn't we put the Ling Ling Ducks before them?
We ranked the 30 teams in the NBA all the time once, and we had a Chinese team above the Clippers.
Well, guess what? Now we can put another team above them. The goddamn Vancouver Mooses are above them, too. These niggas suck. Can't do it. Blow it up. You gave up your future. You gave up your future for a nigga who can never show up when it matters.
How do they blow it up?
I don't give a fuck how they blow it up. Sell the team. That's how you blow it up. Get the fuck out of LA.
Sell the team.
You niggas are exiled.
The Compton Clippers?
Spit on your grave, nigga. Spit on your grave.
Just spit on
niggas
his bunny.
Is dead.
Okay, Kanye, relax.
Pack up again.
This man on his Kanye bag, bro.
Hey, oh, my right, man. God, bro. I'm done.
Let me see the contracts. I'm done.
Oh, man.
I'm done. I got it out of my system. It's out of my system.
Yeah,
I'm good.
There's just no excuse. There's just no excuse for this Clippers team.
So we're Los Angeles Scissors now.
That was great.
They underperformed top to bottom. Kawhi has made this reputation of just like everyone else might be shit, but Kawhi will be consistent in the playoffs. But even he choked.
Kawhi's not vocal, so he's not going to get slandered like other superstars.
So where are we at then with the blame? Like if we're ranking, like okay, this is whose fault it was.
One and two, Lou Williams-Montrez. Because them motherfuckers played like they shouldn't even be in the fucking rotation.
Yeah, that's true.
Lou Williams shooting 30%, 13% from three. Like Lou Will,
Send him back to the strip club. Go get some
and
wings.
He's not doing anything on defense. He's definitely not doing anything on defense. We already talked about how Montrez been trash. And he was averaging what 10 points and 3 rebounds. Sixth man of the year right there.
That's how they had set themselves up though, was like if those guys weren't doing anything off the bench, they didn't have guys they could put out there that are just gonna defend and shoot and then let PG and Kawhi do whatever. They always needed those two guys to score. Right.
Which is justified. These two guys are in the sixth man of the year conversation every single year, and that should be enough. And you have Landry Shaman on top of that, and you have Marcus Morris, and you have Reggie Jackson, and you have Ivica Zubac. So it's not like they didn't have depth. Right. If anything, that was the one thing that a lot of people said as to why the Clippers do have a chance of beating the Lakers. Because although the Lakers do have the better duo, the Clippers have 2 6-man man of the year candidates, a defensive one of the best perimeter defenders in the league.
If the Lakers had that squad, what would be the narrative? If the Lakers had that squad, what would be the narrative?
Oh man, LeBron can never be the GOAT.
AD, I mean, let's really think about it. If LeBron had that squad, what would be the narrative?
He had no help. That's the narrative.
That is a fact. He didn't have no help.
Had no help.
LeBron like didn't have no help.
Where was Lil Will? Where was Landry Shamit?
The thing with those guys, though, is like, you know, like you can say, yeah, we got depth. There's a difference between having bodies and having depth. Like they had guys that could be out there, but they didn't have guys that could do anything if they weren't scoring. So like Montrezl and Lou couldn't score. They might as well have been at the end of the bench because they don't have guys that can defend and can shoot. And suddenly they don't have a lineup to put out there at the end of games. Like that was the issue all year long, was they would get, whether it's Christmas Day, whatever, they would get into to big games and they wouldn't have a group that they could put on the floor that could defend and can shoot and let Kawhi and PG do their thing. Because remember, Kawhi was awesome in the postseason last year, but in game 7 against the Sixers, he shot 39 times. Shot 39 times because everybody else was just doing their thing. And they knew he was going to make 45% of his shots get to the line and they would be fine offensively. But they couldn't do that because there's no point in having Lou Will and Montrez on the floor if they're not going to score because they can't do anything else.
Right. There's no point in having Paul George on the floor if he can't do anything.
Can you imagine we're living in a world?
So to me, the hierarchy is Lou Will and Montrez. And then after that, I'd say PG because he was just so inconsistent.
PG was ass. I'd say
PG. PG's number one on my list.
NC-17.
All the way down.
Well, because I don't know how much Doc Rivers could have done. Like he had the pieces with him; they just played like shit.
Well, Montrez, at a certain point, especially with the bigs, personnel was an issue. Zubac is the only defensive big they have. Again, doubling was not really the solution. But I don't know. Someone's got to be blamed, though, right? Like they got to have somebody. Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised if Doc becomes the guy because he has that reputation of blowing 3-1 leads. I think this is like the sixth or seventh one, 3-1 or 3-2 that his teams have blown, he's been coaching for like 30 years, but still.
Yeah. But like, what do you blame him for? What do you be like, oh, you didn't tell your guys to play hard? Like,
that's what I'm saying. When you look at Doc Rivers and you're trying to blame him, I don't know specifically what you point at.
Right. No, that's
you
fair.
Can't blame him for guys
not making adjustments.
You can't hit him for guys. You can't blame
What adjustments for guys should have he made?
Not playing PG? Because he would have got hate for that.
Maybe. Like, yeah, that's a start. Not playing
if you,
PG.
So if Doc would have sat, he would have went and benched PG. He would have benched Montrez and Lou Will. That nigga would have got fired mid-game.
Build more so around Kawhi instead of having PG there just because he's the second star.
I mean, it's year one. It's year one of this process.
That's not his. If anything, that should be Jerry West getting a lot of the blame. If it's a personnel issue.
I think the roster is a lot more flawed than we thought it was. And once they got into a team that not only had a duo in Jamal and Jokic that was playing extremely well, but then one of those guys is a big, which they struggled to defend because of their personnel, but then other guys like Gary Harris that can guard and can shoot. Michael Porter Jr. Could come in and do some things. Paul Millsap is a front court player that can shoot a little bit and can play against someone like Montrez and not have Jokic have to guard him all the time. We didn't realize it until things got really bad in the series. But they had more versatile pieces. The Clippers had one way to play, and it didn't work.
I mean, I would say this for the Clippers. For the Clippers, I feel like they're one of the teams, just like I feel like this applies to the Bucks. The form of layoff affected them way more than we originally thought. Like, way more than people thought it affected them. Because before the layoff, they seemed legit. They were a legit team. There wasn't this many questions about this team. When they got back to the Bucks
or the Lakers, or the Clippers, sorry.
The Clippers. Okay. The Clippers seem legit. Then they get to the bubble. Okay, everybody got to shake the rust off. But when the playoffs came around, with the Lakers, we'll lose the first game. We're winning the next four. We did that for the first two series. The dominant team showed they're going to be dominant. With this Clippers team from round one, from the round with the Mavs, they would just drop games that you shouldn't drop. Luka's hitting game, they just weren't consistent. They weren't consistent from the start of the playoffs.
That should have been a
big sign that this shit was probably going to crash and burn if they got to a legit team. And what's a better team than the team that already came back from a 3-1 lead? And once that
3-1 lead started to dwindle for them, you could have the writing was already in the stars. You already could see it, like, okay, this is going bad. This team's not consistent. With me, I'm going to blame. I put way more blame on the players. Damn, I put way more blame on the players than I do the coaches and the staff, because when they built this team, the narrative was this is a good team. Mm-hmm. When they played in the regular season, yeah, they weren't as consistent as other teams, but they still seemed like a top four team.
They
still
didn't live up to expectations, bro.
They didn't live up to expectations now, but that's the players' fault. That's what I'm saying. When it comes to blame, I don't think you can blame Doc Rivers. Like, Doc Rivers, his system worked. Everyone believed them to be a championship team. A lot of people thought they were going to win a title. So, obviously, his system was working. Doc Rivers coached well. It's just his players. You can't coach players underachieving. Like, you can't – how do you coach that? How can you sit there as a coach and draw up X's and O's for Lou Will not playing like Lou Will? Harold not playing like Harold. PG playing – well, PG played like goddamn playoff P. PG's
always been
why he – he's always been playoff P ever since he left the Pacers. But how do you coach that? Like, when it comes to coaching, like, my dad used to tell me this. He said, when it comes to the NBA, his whole thing was, if you lose by more than 10 to 15, that's the fucking players. If you lose by 10, 8 or less, that's coaching. Your players kept you in the game. You just got to drop the X's and O's to win the game. And I was like, man, that's kind of weird. Now I get what the fuck he means. Now I understand. I'm like, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
He can't make shots for him. Like, I'm cool with blaming Lou Will and Montrez, because it's with the way, especially with the way the NBA is now, there are nights, the Rockets have experienced this, there are nights where you're just not going to win. You're going to miss 26 threes, and that's what you do, and they're good looks, and you just miss them. And there are other nights where you can't lose, where you're going to make 30 threes, and you can't lose. Just the way that the volume of three-point shooting is, that's just how it is. And, like, for Lou Will Montrez specifically, I'm cool with blaming them the most, because guys got to make shots. They're out there to score, and if they're not making shots, Doc Rivers can't stand in the corner and make shots for him. You know what I mean? Like,
very true.
I'm cool with
that. That's true. Wrap it up like a condom.
All right, let's wrap this up. Let's wrap this up, because we got shit to do today.
Mahomes?
Mahomes had us.
Mahomes time?
But yeah, I mean, do y'all have any quick things to say before we wrap it up?
If y'all make me wake up in the AM for one more goddamn pod, I'm not doing AM.
I promise we're the only one.
PMs
only one.
From now on. PMs.
Oh, man.
PMs had us. It's real all quick, good, man.
Real quick, Sporting, who are your top five NBA YouTube content creators?
Yeah, put me on the spot. I'm not going to rank top five.
He does this every time we have a guest. This is his question.
So here's my thing. I watch people, right? Like, I definitely watch people's videos, but I try honestly not to watch like a ton, because I want everything I do to come from me, because I don't know like if Bezos can attest to this, but there are times where you'll click on something and be like, oh, this is a cool video. And you watch it and you're like, damn, I have those exact same thoughts. And now I feel like I can't express them because I watched somebody else say it. So there's a lot of great people. I think that from like just talking about basketball like you would if you were watching the game perspective, I think Funky is great. I love if I'm just trying to learn something about the game of basketball, I think Funky's great. I think from like a, you know, obviously he's moving more towards like some current event stuff, but whether it's historic or otherwise, I think obviously B-Souls is great. I'm not going to go through and rank people though, because people get petty. You know what I mean? But I mess with everybody, but I have tried to not watch a ton because I always want to feel like it's original. And if I say something that someone else said, I want to be pure coincidence. So.
Okay. No, I feel you on that. Because you don't want to be called out for copying and cheating. Which 90% of the time we don't. No, like 90% of the time we just have our... Yeah. But 90% of the time we just have our own opinions and they just line up.
Right.
But yeah, man, thanks for coming on for the pod.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah.
For sure.
Appreciate it. Go ahead and plug your shit, man.
So, I mean, we obviously on YouTube, it's Sporting Logically. And then the only other thing I got going on right now is twitch.tv/Spolo, SPOLO _TD, which is just my initials. So Spolo _TD on Twitch. We're back to Warzone this week. So I did the COD Alpha. And if any of y'all want to play, I can, B-Souls has my number. I can text y'all the Activision username stuff. We can get some Warzone in.
Justin was rubbing his hands.
Warzone's my shit.
Oh, right up.
Yeah. Cool. I'll text it to him and he can get it to y'all.
For sure. All right. Everyone else, y'all want to do your outros? Go ahead and start with Justin.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Stop.
All right, Justin, go ahead.
All right, GG's.
This nigga Dom is stupid.
I'll have some more energy next week, I promise.
Yeah, I will too. I'm sorry. I'm not a morning person.
I got something. I'm on my Charles Barkley guarantee. Y'all hear me?
Yes.
Charles Barkley guarantee Lakers going to win the chip.
God damn it. Why did you have to do that to us, man? Don't do that.
Dom, I feel you. Every time I hear people be like, oh, the Celtics definitely going to win this one. I'm like, fuck.
I mean, they are.
Stop.
It's 2-1 right now. If the Celtics win, it's 2-2, and then now it's an even playing field. And they have the momentum,
I'm just saying, don't.
They have,
just keep on doubting us. Just keep on doubting us. Just keep on doubting us. Because we like being the underdogs. That the reason why we played like shit in 2019 was because everyone was like, ah, we're going to dominate the East and we can beat the fucking Warriors. No, we couldn't. Okay,
I don't right now.
Just so we can win.
Miami in five.
All right, Dom, go ahead and say goodbye to the people.
All right, peoples. Hope y'all had a very exquisite viewing experience. Exquisite. Go ahead and follow me on Twitter.
That shit was so funny.
Exquisite.
Go ahead and follow me at DomChurch1 on Twitter. Follow me at Dom Church on Snapchat. You know, Hot Takes is amazing on Twitter. Another thing, before we leave, I just want to say something. The comment section of the last video, listen, I am definitely more than fucking Hot Takes, okay?
I'm
more
Dom 1K.
Dom 1K head ass.
I can admit, I was a little wrong with the Chris Smooth thing, okay? I wanted to say that. I told B-Souls this before. I was wrong, okay? I did some research. Chris Smooth definitely has dropped more Park videos, and I gave him credit for 11 Park videos in 6 years. Are we really giving credit to that? But I was wrong. Okay, I didn't think he did any.
He did
11 in 6 years. Congratulations.
Yeah.
But that's... I'm just saying, I was wrong. A man should be able to admit when he's wrong. I was wrong. But look, I'm more than hot takes. All right, a lot of y'all were saying I'm nothing but hot takes. Watch them.
I thought I was a hot take person. Damn.
We got the man talking about there's magnets in the rim, but I'm the hot take guy. That's crazy.
All right, let's go. Let's go. Word Dude's World. Wrap it up like a condom.
Hey man, subscribe to my channel, Word Dude's World. WORDU World, man. Follow World. Me on Snapchat. CEO Chief Skeet. Thank you guys so much for the love in the comments. In the comments on the last video, mad love. Subscribe to the channel. Subscribe to the Let's Keep It a Buck Instagram, and I'm out.
Yes, sir.
Nigga, get sponsored by Backwoods. Get sponsored
Big
by
Backwoods, baby. Ayo,
man, be wearing that same jacket.
Need to get monetized on YouTube first.
First of all, I got three different ones: white, red, and black. Watch your mouth. I'll put the Backwoods right up beside the Laker banner, you know, because I gotta get a new Laker banner. That was kind of outdated because we're about to get another championship. Put it right there.
That's a fact.
Backwoods, baby. Give me my sponsorship. Need free roll-ups.
All right, man.
Free roll-ups.
We'll see y'all next week. Thank you again to Tucker for showing up this week.
Yes, sir!